start that. You can turn to Genesis chapter 1 if you want to follow along. I'm not going to start with any single passage of Scripture. Before I actually begin, let me kind of reiterate here again about allegories. Let me state a couple, actually what I've stated before and then something else along with it there. First of all, allegories are from actual accounts.
Yes, sir.
They're not from fiction. Okay? In other words, allegories are not the same thing. That is the allegories of Scripture. Now, there may be allegories out here, you know. But allegories that the Apostle Paul's talking about, scriptural allegories, are not like Aesop's fables. They're not made up stories to teach some mere moral truth or moral fact. An Aesop's fable may have its place for little children and old senile men like me or whatever. But remember, allegories come from actual accounts in Scripture.
Yeah.
Actual events in Scripture. In other words, number two, allegories describe gospel truth under the image of events, people, and places. That is, God takes these actual events and peoples and places, and it illustrates gospel truth. The truth is established by the doctrine taught in Scripture. We use the allegory only to give us that picture illustration that we can relate to. And God's made us that way. You know, most of us, it really helps if you have like this visual illustration of a certain truth. However, all of these things, as these events, these people, these places, all of these things are not only allegories. I think that's where we as preachers sometimes can fail to come at least to par on this thing. Is all these events, people, and places are not just there for allegories. They are actual events. These are actual examples. In many cases, they're actual examples of God's grace. We may not have a lot of the doctrinal detail like we do in the New Testament, but they're actual examples of God Almighty's grace. They're actual examples of God Almighty's purpose. They're actual examples of the messianic promise of God and God's providence thereunto, bringing all this messianic glory to fulfillment. Now, you know, I'm not going to read them, but you can mark it down or get the tape. At Romans 15 verse 4 says, those things were written for our, what? Example. That we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope.
Yeah.
In other words, they're not just some allegorical story. They're real. What happened to them happens to us.
Yeah.
And of course, you know this passage, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12, where Paul says, all our fathers passed through the cloud. He said, those things were written for our example and our warning.
Yeah.
And our warning. So they are real. So before I go into any more allegories, I want to look at the reality here.
Yeah.
Although we will still see some allegory, we will see some types, symbols. But I want to look at the reality this morning. And what I want to look at is from Adam to Noah. That's the title of the message, from Adam to Noah. Now, you think about this, Adam to Noah, or specifically, more to the point, Adam and Noah are two great epochs in human history.
Yes, sir.
Are they not?
Yeah.
That kind of stand out above and beyond all other epochs. Adam was the start of the whole human race, right?
Yes, sir.
The fact is, our gene pool can all be traced back, whether we can do this actually scientifically or not, doesn't matter. It can all be traced back to one man, that man called Adam. Our gene pool can. We all came from him.
Yep.
We are all the sons and daughters of Adam, not one exception. And Mason, I can say that with all the authority of the Word of God. Every one of us,
yeah,
male or female, young or whatever, we are the sons and daughters of Adam. The whole human race started there. But God narrowed that gene pool down again in Noah, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Now, we're still all from Adam.
Yeah.
But he even narrowed it down. You see these two great epochs? God killed all. God killed every human being but eight of them.
Amen.
In the account of Noah. And that's not a fiction.
No.
It's not there just to teach us some moral truth or even to teach us some gospel truth. It's a reality. That took place. God flooded this world, and everything that breathed breath in through its nostrils died.
Amen.
The only thing that didn't die was aquatic life that could breathe underwater, that could find its oxygen underwater. And that's what the scripture teaches. So these two great epochs. Now, there are at least four things that I want to try to point out from Adam to Noah. First of all, the first thing, and you read the first two or three chapters of Genesis, but specifically Genesis chapter 1. When you read the first chapter of Genesis, you will find this truth pronounced above everything, so to speak. The first thing this morning is this: God speaks.
Yes, sir.
God speaks. Four things under this that God speaks. One, he spoke all into existence.
Yes, sir.
If it exists, he's the one that spoke it into existence. Now notice what it says, and I'm going to read it. But Genesis 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14, verse 20, verse 24, verse 26, and verse 29, all of them say this: and God said. That's the way it even puts it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, and God thought.
Exactly.
Now God could have merely thought.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? He could have.
Sure.
Why? Because we know God will do whatever he wants to do. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So he has thought, Mason. He could have thought it into existence, but that's not the way the scripture presents it, is it? It says he spoke it into existence, right? He spoke and it became.
Yeah.
It wasn't just he spoke and it was so, though that's true, but he actually spoke and it didn't even exist. He spoke and then it existed.
Amen.
And what did John, one of the first of the epistles, as we have it in our order, the first of the epistles in the New Testament. No, it ain't the epistle. I'm sorry. So I'm dead wrong. The last of the what is called the Gospels, the first thing John says is he lets us know this: the one who spoke all things into existence,
yes,
was who? The Word. That's what he even calls it.
Amen.
The Word, right?
Amen.
Now, yes, a word is thought, but in Scripture, and the very thing there means even to have it spoken forth. That's why the scripture is so emphatic in Genesis 1. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And what is the actual truth behind that? There was no life until God said. Plant life, terrestrial life, right? Celestial life. The stars, they have a life to it. Our sun has a life to it, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
They say it's dying, you know? Right? I mean, they burn out. That's what they say. They can burn out. But the whole point is all of it, celestial, terrestrial, animal, plant life, even human life, it exists. Why? Because God spoke it into existence.
Amen.
And God, listen, personally spoke it,
yes,
into existence.
Amen.
In the person of the pre-incarnate Son of God.
Amen.
He personally said. It says, and God said. Do you you get that, don't
yeah.
you? And God said. That's number one. Now here's the New Testament equivalency of that. Penny looked it up for me this morning. One of them smartphones are handy when you didn't think of something and you're on the way here. I don't even have one. I got a flip phone. Had it for years, and God willing, I will stick with it till the day I die. But she brought out her phone. She looked this up in John 5, verse 24, where our Lord said, truly, truly, verily, verily, truly. In other words, he is saying, I am putting great emphasis on this.
Exactly.
Now, anytime he spoke, he didn't have to say truly, truly. If he spoke, he's the speaker of all things, right? He's the one who brought all things into existence. If it has life, he gave it life. And even if it ain't life, it exists because he spoke it into existence. But he said, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, which lets me know this. It's happening, but it's going to be manifest, I believe, in a greater way after. It's already happening, but there's coming a time when you're really going to see it. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear what? The voice. And that word is vital.
Yes, sir.
Because it's not just the word, even. It's the voice. We get the Greek, we get our word phonograph.
Yeah.
Actual sound.
Yes, sir.
And I can hear it back then. And God said, let there be light.
Yes, sir.
And there was light, right? He said, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
Amen.
And they that hear shall what? Live.
Amen.
You see, if you ever, if I ever, if I did ever, if I have right now, if I have spiritual life, if you have spiritual life, if you don't have it right now, and you ever do have it right now, he will have to personally,
yes,
speak it into existence.
Amen.
Even if you don't verbally hear the voice,
yeah,
he's saying it,
yeah,
personally,
yeah,
nonetheless. Right? And I know that's what it means. There are no other means here. It is Christ alone who is the means.
Yes, sir.
Because he goes down a few verses later and says, it says, don't marvel at this, what I've just said, for that there's a time coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And some are going to be raised to life everlasting, others to damnation, right? There are no other means in that resurrection other than Christ saying, come up.
Right. Amen.
Life comes from God. And God made this clear right at the first part of his book.
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
If there's life, bless your soul, it comes from God.
Amen.
We talk about procreation, and rightfully so. But let me tell you, we only have what God gives us to start with.
Exactly.
Don't we? I don't just generate it of my own will, and we don't have to go into the science of it, but what I have in me to produce any offspring is already there. And once that's gone, guess what? Apart from a miracle of God, it's gone, ain't it? It's gone. So, I'm not making that. God is the one who gives life. My children exist because God Almighty said they would exist. He spoke them into existence. Because God proves he'll give life to whom he will. There are people who had babies even in the womb. And what does God do? Snuffs it out. He gives the life. And Job, before it even comes forth out of the womb, he can take it away. Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because life not only is given by him, but it's held in his hands.
Amen.
That's what the book teaches.
Yeah.
I'm not here to argue with anybody about it. That's just the way it is. But God spoke, said four things. Secondly, I got to move along. God spoke one prohibition.
Yeah.
In that early time, didn't he? Yeah. Just one. He said, of all the trees of the garden, you can what? Freely eat. Don't even have to ask me anymore.
Exactly.
I've said you could eat it. Just go eat at your will.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Eat at your good pleasure, all but and he spoke it. You can look, go back. I'm not going to take the time to read it. I don't have the time to go back and read it. Read it for yourself. That's the second thing he spoke. He spoke everything into existence, then he spoke one prohibition. And we often zero in on the prohibition, and rightfully so, because we got right reason to worry about or be concerned about that prohibition. But remember, with the prohibition was a great blessing.
Yes, sir.
It's all here for your taking.
That's right.
One prohibition he spoke. Thirdly, though, wait a minute. Thirdly, God spoke and created his divine order. Genesis 2, verses 18 through 25. God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Didn't he?
Amen.
And God created the woman from man. Isn't that what it says? And let me tell you, I'm not going to stop and preach on that. That has meaning. That has allegory even itself. But Mac, that's God's ordained order. And he spoke it. He said, and God said, didn't he? And God said. Fourthly, think about this now. Remember what I've just said, the first three things. Fourthly, what was the first question mark on God's authority?
Yeah.
Was it that God was God? No. As a matter of fact, the devil himself acknowledged God to be who? God.
Yes, sir.
When he talked to Eve, he acknowledged. He didn't say, now, wait a minute, I don't think he's really God, did he?
Yeah.
Did he? Did he deny that God was the creator?
Nope.
Did he? Was that what he used to entice Eve? Now think about this. I'm not just trying to make up fancy points. There's a point here. Men and women, we get so concerned about certain errors, and to an extent, all error. As Joseph, all error is dangerous. But we're not here to battle with this world about whether God is creator or not. What's the thing that Satan brought up to Eve? Genesis chapter 3, the first part of verse 1 says, yea, hath what? God said. The authority of God's word was put in question. Was it not?
That's it.
And isn't that where it all boils down to? Isn't that where we have the old saying, where the rubber meets the road? Yeah, there are people who don't believe that God exists. There are people who don't believe, even if there is a God, he didn't really create it all, not by just speaking it into existence. But that's not really the problem. The problem is they don't like the authority of God's word. That's my problem. By nature, that's my problem. Why? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they passed that on down to me. Actually, Adam did. He passed that on down to me. It's being passed on down to us. That's why Romans 5 said, this is what happened. Here's what happened because of that question mark to the authority of God's word. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed. Past tense. Death passed. Even before I existed, death had done passed on me.
Amen.
So that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. How did I sin? When Adam sinned, he stood for me. He represented me. He represented you. And when he sinned, you sinned. I sinned.
Amen.
We died.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, we were judged.
Yeah.
And we were condemned. Look at it. Romans 5, verse first part of verse 15, the middle part of verse 16, first part of verse 17, 18, and 19. Judged, condemned. You see, the condemnation wasn't that, well, people will go to hell, Adam, if you sin. That wasn't the first problem. The problem was they're going to be born into the state into which you fall if and when you eat of that fruit.
Yes, sir.
That's the condemnation. We're condemned, what? Already.
Amen.
You see, everybody's worried about hell, but they don't care about what God's word says about what I am now.
Exactly.
By nature. You know? And even as a believer, I still have it. I still fight with it. That's my chief problem, Joe, is, yea, hath God said?
Yeah.
Is that really what God said? Mm-hmm. Is that really what God meant?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And Satan and ourselves have been using that question mark ever since. But then something else happens, number two. God acts. You hear what I said? God acts. Now, God spoke. Think about it. God spoke. Chapter 1, chapter 2. Everything. He just spoke. It doesn't say, Ellen, that he did all this. He says, God said, let there be light. And what? It was light. God just spoke, and it was so. But then, all of a sudden, man falls. All humanity falls. And now God personally acts. Look at it, chapter 3, verse 7. Here's the immediate effect. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons, and they heard the, look at that. They heard the voice. There's the speaker, right?
Yes, sir.
The one who speaks. Yeah. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. What? Walking.
Amen.
He came down.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Yeah.
He not only, not, here's the speaker, now walking right amidst the garden where they were put. You see that?
Yes, sir.
And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God then speaks again. Remember, notice he acts. He has to act first.
Yes, sir.
First going to be life. What God has to say, let there be life.
Yes, sir.
But then God also does what? He acts. He has to come to where we are.
Exactly.
See that? And then even when he comes to where we are, he still what? Speaks.
Yes.
You see that? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, I'll show you grace and mercy. Is that what he told him? Is that the first thing he told him?
No.
No, Adam, where are you at?
Yep.
Did the voice of the Lord God not know where Adam was at? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Why does he call in this manner? Why does he call in this manner? Because the first thing that God Almighty does is not lift one of his elect up in Christ. Oh, yeah. He will set you with princes and kings. But the first thing he's going to call upon you to do is to confess that you're the beggar on the dung heap.
Amen.
He's going to have you confess where you are. Right? That's one of the first things. There's going to be no exaltation until there's first abasement.
That's right. Yeah.
If you've missed the abasement part, you've not been called of God.
That's right.
Because this is the way God started to work from the beginning. And he says, I am the Lord, I change not.
Amen.
And this is real. This is not just allegory, is it? This is what God spoke. This is what he did. You see it? You see it? And you know what? We still don't always get it right. Look at what Adam started making excuses, didn't he? And let me tell you something. So did you and so did I. Didn't we? I still do today. What happens next? God speaks, but secondly, he acts. And he acts and speaks in sovereign saving mercy. He didn't have to come down to find Adam, or to come down to Adam, did he? He could have left Adam where he was,
yes, sir.
Couldn't he? But he came down, but remember, the first thing when he spoke again was what? Where you at, Adam?
Amen.
Where you at? But look, yeah, God spoke. He acts, but look, he acts and makes just provision. Chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make.
Amen.
You see God doing the acting here?
Yep.
You see Amen. God doing the work?
Amen.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
Now what did Adam? Adam did some work, but what was it? An evil work.
Exactly.
One evil work and plunged the rest of us into chaos and ruin.
Yep.
Now you think we're going to do better now than he could in that upright state? No, you think about, I wasn't going to mention it. You think about, remember what, some of you may have heard that message by Jim McLarty. I think it was Saved by Grace. Where he said, you think about, Adam was in the garden. There were no other women to mess with.
Yeah.
He couldn't commit adultery. There weren't no more.
That's right.
There were no booze parlors to go to and overindulge. There were no drug pushers on the street corner. He had one thing, don't eat this, and what did he do? He ate it. And now, after we are born into the state into which he fell, in a world that's rife with temptation, and people say, well, you got a will that's free.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking, that's not what God said. He makes just provision, and unto Adam also, and unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. Now it don't say it, but you know what's that mean? God had to kill something.
Exactly right.
And something else other than Adam and Eve. But what else? Now look, that's not the end of it.
That's right.
Look at it. Yeah, he made coats of skins, but it's all right, here they are. Y'all look at them when you think about how naked you are. Is that what happened?
No,
I'm going to hang them up here in the tree that you ate of, and every time you feel guilty, just look up there at the skins. Is that what it says?
No,
and clothed them.
Amen.
He made it personal. Yes, you see it? He put it on them. I've got to move. We're only on the first part of number two and the second part of that. Then, number three under two, God acts. God reinforces this just provision. Remember two boys now, the two sons of Adam and Eve? They both offer offerings, and God reinforces what he's already established.
Yes, sir.
In the garden.
Yes, sir.
Abel brought blood. I'm going to simplify. Abel brought blood. God did not, Cain did not.
Exactly.
Well, that's what it took when God made them coats of skins and clothed them. It took the shedding of blood, and God reinforces it now when here Abel offers blood, Cain does not, and God says, Cain, you're wrong. If you do right, I'll accept you. Is that not what God says? And that's what God says to every person. Not do all the works you can, bow to my way.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Bow to what I've already said and done. And Cain refused. Oh, he chose, all right. He chose not to, but even more than that, he chose then to take it out on the one who did. The first human blood ever shed was over this thing of grace and works for justification before God. And even more, blood and human effort, the difference between those two things. That's where the first murder was ever committed by man, was over this. And that's where the rub's at. That's where the battle's at. That's where it's all at. What God said and what God did. Right? That's where it's at. And then, look, God is talking to Cain. Do you see that? And God said again to Cain.
Right.
Read it.
Yes, sir.
And well, what wouldn't you think that any reasonable person would say, thank you, God, I'll do the right thing. But he didn't, and he couldn't. And it says, verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. God don't have to kick anybody out. They go out. You see that? They go out. That's number two. Number three, bear with me. Here's the third thing. God then enacts, brings to pass his ordained way for the rest of humanity, for the rest of time. He moves others now to speak for him. Look at it. He spoke to Cain. Cain went out from him. And you don't hear from God again for hundreds of years. Look at it. You don't see anymore, and God says. Huh?
Sir.
Do you? Think about this.
Yes, sir.
Now we find Eve saying, Chapter 4, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth, for God said she.
Yeah.
You see now? For God said she hath appointed me another Right, here's a kicker, boy. Another seed. You see, I believe, and if you go back and look at chapter 4, verses 1, you'll find, I believe Eve thought that Cain, he was the firstborn. She thought that Cain would be that seed that would crush the devil's head. She found out in a bad way he weren't.
That's right.
And she now knew Abel wasn't, because he's dead.
Exactly.
And God gives her another man. But does God say, here, look what I've done? No, he uses Eve to testify. Does he not? And go, look at it, hundreds of years, so-and-so begat so-and-so, after he was so old, and he lived so old, and begat so many, and years, and years, and years. I didn't even add them up, it don't matter. It's a long time. And then all of a sudden, you don't hear nothing. And then chapter 5, verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years, and begat a son, and called his name Noah, saying, this same. Who's talking now? Lamech is. But look at what Lamech says. This same shall comfort us concerning the work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. God is still speaking, but notice he's speaking through someone else now.
Exactly.
Do you see that? Does that not ring a bell? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now granted, there are a few occasions later on after these two great epochs where God came and said to a certain person.
Yeah.
But they are few and far in between. So far in between that we remember one of them, Gideon, said, man, you ain't done stuff like this for years, Lord.
That's right.
Now, didn't he? Isn't that what Gideon said?
Yeah.
Why? Because God's ordained way for men. Now, it's not the ordained way for him.
Yeah.
God will do what he wants. If God wants to speak to you tonight in your bedroom, he can do that. But God's ordained way for men is this. It pleased him to do this through the foolishness of preaching. What men doing preaching? Women doing a Eve or a Lamech or a Noah.
Yes, sir.
Noah preached. It didn't say God said for 120 years. Noah preached 120 years. God's still speaking, but he's speaking through a mouthpiece.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that God's ordained way? Think of it. Hundreds of years transpire. Men now speak, but what do they speak of? The Messiah.
There you go.
What do they speak of? Comfort.
Yes, sir.
Noah's going to comfort us. How? He didn't know. I don't know if he knew the precise details, but he knows this boy, Noah. That's what his name means, comfort. He'll be the one. What's Noah do? He builds the ark, a place of safety.
Amen.
You see it? The only place of safety.
Amen. That's right.
And I figured for 120 years, he said, this is the place of safety, folks.
Yeah.
Doesn't say he was out there trying to get him in. He would just say, this is the place of safety. Yeah. I plan on being on there.
Yeah.
And we'll, Lord willing, look at that maybe sometime later. But right now, I'm thinking about doing a message, and I'll just give you the title of it, Men Who Plow with Another Man's Heifer. And I want to do that one. And you think about where that one's going. Let's get back to the point here now. So we may have to come back to Noah later. You think about this. Noah built the ark to the saving of his house. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Noah's a type of Christ. The ark's a type of, but he built the house. Or he built the ark to the saving. Is that not Christ and his people?
Yes, sir.
Who was Lamech talking about in true effect?
Yeah.
Christ!
Yes, sir.
And it was manifest in the ark, was it not? That's what they talked about, the Messiah. Paul put it this way, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to do what? Here's the first. Now, he's not downing baptism, but let me tell you something. Until you get this other thing down, baptism means nothing.
Yeah.
Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the cross of Christ, to preach Christ. Preach the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because that is where conversion starts. Everyone that God says live, they're going to hear that message and they're going to believe that message. That's where it starts. You remember here a while back, if you think it started before that, you're wrong. That may have already started for you, but it started there. It didn't start where you might think it did, and hopefully God will straighten you out on that. And then all of a sudden, it'll dawn on you. And you can finally say, and you can relax. You can relax. What did they speak? They spoke about the Messiah. They spoke about comfort. Number four, Then God exemplifies and defines this way. Think about it. Look, you look at Genesis 6, verses 1 through 7. Man not only is still corrupt, but he just adds and adds and adds and adds to his corruption. So much so that even the sons of God find themselves tangled in this weave as well. Doesn't it? They took unto them the daughters of men. Even the people of God were caught up in some of it too.
Oh, yeah.
That's number one. Man remains and adds to his corruption. Genesis 6, verses 1 through 7. But. And God put the but in there.
Yeah.
But Noah found grace. You see now God defining what this is?
Amen.
He's done it all. Said it. Done it. He's done it all. And now God calls. Here's what it is. It's called grace.
Amen.
You see it? God said, I define it this way. Grace.
Amen.
But notice this. But Noah found grace.
Yeah.
Do you see that word? It just dawned on me last night. That's why I couldn't sleep, Penny. That's why I woke up at 12 o'clock or woke up at 11 o'clock and I can't sleep. I got to go in here because something's next. I was asleep and didn't even know it. I woke up and I said, I can't do this. I got up and I said, wait a minute, Noah found. Now, let me summarize. When God saves any, God has worked first. Now, this is the order for us. We see it established even in the first few books, don't
yes,
we?
Sir.
But for us, we're looking back now. When God saves any, God has done the work in Christ.
Amen.
God speaks life. Then men speak and brings about conversion. You see that? That's the first thing. We see that lesson here, don't we? But secondly, when God freely gives grace, grace is also found.
Amen.
It ain't secret. It ain't hidden. It ain't you just wake up in heaven one day and say, well, bless God, I had grace. God gave me. When God gives grace, you're going to find it.
That's right.
You're going to lay hold of it. You're going to see it.
Yes, sir.
You're going to taste it. It's going to be real. Noah found grace. In the eyes of the Lord. It's going to be real. R-E-A-L. Or it ain't real. Right? It's either got to be real or it hasn't really happened to you. It has to actually happen to you. You got to know about it or it ain't happened to you. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what God says, doesn't he? That's what, I started the first, we could go all the way through it, and God still hammers that truth all the way through this book.
Yes, sir.
Now, it may have a little different order, because you're coming toward that epoch in the middle, Calvary.
Yes, sir.
Then once Calvary happens, now the order is not switched doctrinally, but time-wise. Now the work's already all done back here and all that. There ain't no more blood being shed. No more skins being made. It's done. Right? It's done. And God says to somebody, live. And when they live not for life in itself, but for life to see the gospel of Christ. And when they see it, they'll get a hold of it. And they'll pull it in close. And they'll love it forever. Or they've never loved it at all. Father, teach these things to us by experience, because truly it is worked out, it is carried out according to your sovereign purpose, and we praise you for it in Christ's name. Amen.